about him not being here because he was going to have his chemotherapy treatment and stuff like that. And he said, you just go ahead and handle that and go ahead and preach. And I said, okay, that'd be good. And then he said, he made this statement. He said, and I'm glad it's not me. And I said, why? Why are you saying that? He said, well, I mean, I sure would hate to preach right after the election. And it dawned on me, and I thought, oh no, that's right. I remember the last election and how distraught I was 4 years ago. I'm telling you, I was in mourning for a while. I didn't know it would affect me like that. And so I thought to myself, oh no, what am I going to say? Because if it don't go just like, you know, I was thinking, what could I say? How could I encourage anybody when I'm going to be in the depths of despair? You know, how can I do that? So yesterday, honestly, could not keep my mind on track to think and to study and prepare about anything. I just couldn't do it. I don't know that I've ever been that way before. But I could not get my mind focused. I could not get it to work. Which, yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, that's not unusual. But when it comes to, you know, to preparing a message, most of the time, you know, God is gracious and helps me. And, you know, and that, and I was, I tell you, I just didn't know what I was going to do. And so last night, 10 o'clock, and, you know, that's my normal time. I wasn't there. There's no way in the world I was going to stay up and watch and be a part of that because, you know, I knew if I stayed up, it was going to one candidate was going to win, and one was going to lose. I knew that. If I stayed up and worried the whole night, it wasn't going to make any difference. It wasn't going to change anything. And so I just went to bed and let everybody else take care of that, right? And I slept, and then when I got up this morning, I looked and you know, and I thought, well, this will be a whole lot easier day to prepare a message than it was yesterday. And so, anyway, with that being said, let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verse number 7 through 11. And here, we're going to be talking about, in this passage of Scripture right here, the theme is, and of course, a lot of what is said in 1 John is talking about the theme of love. Love. There's a lot said about love in the book of 1 John. And so, we're going to look at this passage right here, see if we can learn some things about love. 1 John chapter 2. Begin reading in verse number 7. The Bible says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And let's bow for prayer. Let's ask the Lord to bless, speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, we sure do thank you for your many blessings. Lord, thank you for the Word of God that we have. Lord, that we can learn about this subject of love. And, Lord, we sure do need it. We sure do need help with it. We need to be reminded of it. And so, Lord, I'd ask that you'd use the message tonight. Speak to our hearts. Help each and every one of us, Lord, to learn something and have something, Lord, that you speak to our hearts about. And we sure will thank you for what you do. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Love is one of the major themes in the Bible. 158 times love is used in the New Testament. Like I said, love is a major subject in the book of 1 John. 1 John was written to Christians. And so as you read the book of 1 John, remember and keep this in your mind that this is written to the family. It's written to us as Christians. And so as he's talking to us here, this book is not written for the lost, for the outside world. It's really a family book. It's written to Christians. And so that helps us as we read this to understand it. Not only that, he talks about well, there's many things that we're talking about. Let's just look right, begin here in verse number 7. He says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you. Now, here, as we said, we're talking about love, but this commandment or this thought or this saying that, you know, he's talking about this thing about loving one another. That's been from the beginning. That's what he says there. We've known this and we've heard this from the beginning, and it's really nothing new to us. But as he talks about it here in this passage of Scripture, what he's talking about, he's going to lift this commandment out, because, listen, the Bible is full of commandments, so what makes this one so important? And he's going to tell us that, and he's going to explain that to us. And there's three things here that I want you to see about this commandment that he's given here. It's going to be new in emphasis, it's going to be new in example, and it's going to be new in experience here. And so we're going to see that in this passage of Scripture here. So the first thing that we'll see here is, first of all, it is new in emphasis. Over 12 times, love one another is found in our New Testament. He's told us 12 different times to love one another. Now, if he tells us that 12 different times, it must be pretty important, and I believe it is. And there's so much that could be said about that, just that one phrase there, alone, that we could probably spend 12 different messages on that, just that one phrase right there. But to love one another. Why is that so important? Well, there's other places in the Bible, other passages of Scripture here, that tells us that in one place it says we are known because of our love that we have toward the brethren. By the way, it kind of identifies us. It sets us apart from this old lost and dying world. Love is a great thing, and it should be one of the great things that we have in our life. We're going to look at it, we'll see it a little bit later on, that love is one of the fruits of the Spirit, or one of the evidences of the Spirit. If we have love one to another, the Bible says it also proves and it gives credence to the fact that we're saved and we know Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8 tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart when we receive Christ as our Savior. In other words, when we talk about love, sometimes because we live in the world, we hear so much about love in this world that we don't really, sometimes I think we believe some of the things that the world has to say about love. But really, when it comes to love, we can't find out anything about love from the world. True love. This love that we're talking about here is true love. It's God's love. It's agape love. And only God can give this love. And by the way, we don't have the ability to love like God does until we do get saved. Once we get saved, like we said, God's love comes in, and it's in us. Now, because God's love is in us, then we can share it, and we can express it, and we can use it and have it in our life, because God's in our life, all right? So it's going to be new in emphasis. He says here, and it talks about, it starts in the beginning of the Christian life. Look in chapter 3, verse number 14. Here he says, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. But here he's saying, and I think we mentioned this just a minute ago, we know that we have, and really the emphasis here, when he talks about being dead, we're dead in trespasses and sin, we've been given new life now. And when did we get new life? When we got saved. All right? And so we know that we have passed from death into life because we have this love in us. Now that's important. That's really important. And because we have this love here, listen folks, I'm telling you, it makes all the difference in the world. In our life. Listen, if you don't have love, and we're going to see this, and I tell you, sometimes 1 John is just, he's just really plain here. I mean, he really don't try to soft pedal it. He don't really try to mix it, water it down, anything. He just comes right out and says, if you don't love or have this love in you, then you're probably not saved. And by the way, that ought to help us. That ought to cause us to think, do I love like this? Do I have this kind of love in me? Do I love the brethren? Can people see this love in me? Has it changed my life? Are they able to see it in my life? And by the way, you should. It ought to be like that. It's beginning. It starts in the beginning of the Christian life. We don't have it before this, but once we do get saved, then this love comes into our heart, and we have it in our life. Now, over in John, let me read you a passage. You just hold your place here. I want to read you a passage of Scripture over in John chapter 13. In verse number 35. And he says this, John chapter 13, verse 35. He says, and by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. And like I said, it's a defined mark. It sets us apart from this whole world. Not only that, but the Bible tells us that it is taught by God. God teaches us that we're to love, and we're to have this love in our hearts. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 9. The Bible says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." So here, the Bible tells us that God teaches us. He instructs us. He puts it in us that we're to love one another. Not only that, but can I tell you this? And most folks don't realize it. Now, if you've been here very long, I'm sure you've heard this before. But maybe you're new to our church. Maybe you've not heard this before. But love is an act of the will. It's not an emotion. Now, the world tells you that it's an emotion. It's something that you feel. And it's something that, you know, it's something that just wells up inside of you, and there it is. And boy, it's all this ooey-gooey feeling kind of thing. But it's not really that at all. Not God's love. God's love is an act of the will. In other words, we're to love regardless of how we feel. By the way, can I tell you, have you ever met anybody, I wouldn't be in this church, but have you ever met somebody in another church that was a Christian, and you found it just a little bit hard to love that person? Is anybody like that? Go ahead. Not a soul. Not one person. All right. I know better. Not everybody is lovable. Not everybody is lovable. Now, that's hard. I'll just go on from there. We ain't no need to elaborate much on that. But, you know, not everybody is lovable. But you know what? The Bible says that we're to love people regardless of who they are, what they are, how they act, how they treat us, how they react to us. I mean, all those things. We're to love regardless. By the way, if a husband and wife love each other like they should, like God wants them to, then, you know, there's going to be times in their life that it's not going to be as easy as it is at other times. Have y'all found that to be true? Now, I probably don't want you to raise your hand on that. But there's sometimes that you and your wife, they don't... Now, that's not the way it is with us. I just happened to think about that. That's not us. So if you want to know how true love really works, just watch my wife and I, you know. But for the other people, that sometimes it's not quite as easy to love one another. And if you live, by the way, if you live with somebody and you live with them every day, 7 days a week, 24, I mean, there's going to be times you're just going to get on each other's nerves. There's going to be times it's going to be hard to love one another. By the way, there's sometimes in a marriage, and that's the reason why people, they make the mistake of saying, "Well, I just don't love them anymore." Well, you know what you're saying? It's not that, you know, and maybe the feelings are there or they're not, but what you're saying is, "I have chosen not to love them anymore. If you can look somebody in the eye and you can say, "Well, at one time I loved my wife, but now I don't," then really, in all reality, what you're saying is, you never really loved them at all. Because when you love somebody, when you truly love somebody, you love them regardless of what they do or how they act or all those things with it. You, by the way, when you stood in front of the preacher when you got married, what'd you do? I promise. You didn't raise your right hand and put your hand on the Bible, but it's about the same thing. I promise I'll love them what? If they're good to me, and if they make a lot of money, they really treat me right. I promise to love them in sickness and health, for better, for worse, till death do us part. That's what you promised that preacher that. You promised the people that came there to witness that. Not only that, you promised God, because God was there, and you promised God that you'd love them. So true love is an act of the will. It's not an emotion. Allowing God's love to reach others through you. That's really what he's talking about here. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love, and I just encourage everybody to make a regular practice, make it a habit of going through 1 Corinthians 13 and looking at that passage of Scripture there as it talks about love and how it acts, how it shows itself, expresses itself. The Christian life, and it tells us there, the Christian life without love is really nothing. All right? So not only is it new in emphasis here, but the second thing is it's new in example. Look at what the Bible says in chapter 2, verse number 6. We didn't read that passage, but let's read it, this verse. "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." And here he's talking about the Lord. It's new in example. That we're to, as the Christ is our example, we're to walk as he walked. Now, if we pattern our life after the Lord Jesus Christ, then this thing about love, if we'll follow Him and we'll mimic Him, then we won't have any problem whatsoever knowing what love is all about, or really showing love or expressing love, because Jesus was the perfect example of love. He talks about in verse number 10 here, it talks about it's new an example in our lives. Look at what he says. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's no occasion of stumbling in him. We abide in the light when we show and express our love, and we have love toward our brother. Now, this is not talking about necessarily a physical brother. It's talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ, in our lives. We abide in the light when we love our brother. When we love God's people is really what he's saying. He that hateth his brother, in verse 11 says, is in darkness and walketh in darkness. But verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. In other words, he's in the light. If he can say that he loves his brother and he expresses and shows love to his brother, he is walking in the light. Jesus is the greatest example of that. You know, if you look at his life, I tell you, it's an amazing thing. Of course, we know he was God in the flesh, and I'm thankful, of course, that we have his example that we can look at. And I'll tell you, it really challenges us of how we should act and how we should behave ourselves around other people. Jesus hates sin, and we know that. Jesus hated sin. He always hated sin. He condemned sin. He pointed it out, but he always loved the sinner. He always loved the sinner, and he always was willing to help the sinner. He was always willing to spend time. He was always willing to do whatever was necessary to show and demonstrate love toward those that were lost. He loved the sinner, but he hated the sin. By the way, that's exactly the way we're to behave ourselves. We're to hate sin, but I'll tell you what, it ought not be said that Christians are haters. Do you know if somebody says that we as a Christian, that we hate people, or this church? By the way, sometimes people do say, this church, you hate people down there at that church. Well, that's just not true. That's not true. It's never been true there. We have never. Now, by the way, can I say that sometimes we have not always acted the way we should have acted? Sure. There's been times that we probably didn't act like we should have. We didn't really demonstrate Christian love to people. I agree with that. Sometimes that's true. But I'm going to tell you what, there's never been a time that I know of that anybody that I know of in this church has hated lost people. Now, we hate the sin. I'm telling you, there's some sins. There's things going on in this world that I just tell you, it just makes me sick to my stomach to think about. But you know what? I try to love, and I try to show love, and try to demonstrate love to those sinners. You see, and by the way, it's just like this election. Why don't everybody agree like we do? Why is not everybody on the same side? Why is that? Anybody know? Well, all kinds of reasons, man. Yeah, we're not like each other. We're not like each other. I mean, every one of us are different, right? But you think about this world. This world is lost. They don't have a new nature. They don't have God's love living inside of them. They don't have God's love. And we wonder, why do they act like that? Well, they act like that because that's their nature. That's their nature. That's just the way they are. By the way, that's the way we were before we got saved. We used to act just like that. We used to be just like that. All right? And so, and by the way, I'll tell you, it's frustrating sometimes for us to think, why they act like that because they're sinners. But guess what? We are to love those people like God loved them. We're to love them like God loved them. And that's what we're to do. And we're to show them that love. And by the way, like I said, that love is what sets us apart from this world. People are to be able to look at us and say, there's something different about those people. There's something different about them. And that's what the Lord calls us to do. He asked us to do that. He gave us the example of that. Jesus called Judas his friend. When Judas came to betray him, Jesus Christ knew what he had done. He looked at him and called him his friend. He said, "Where have you been, my friend? My friend, where have you been?" And Judas came and betrayed him. When Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, he looked down at those lost people, those sinners that had hung him on that cross, and he said, "What? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them." And, you know, he could have called judgment down on them, but he didn't. He said, "Father, forgive them." Look over in John, if you want to, you've got time, or if you can, turn to John chapter 15. I know sometimes it's hard to, if you're taking notes of different things, to turn the pages there, sit on your lap. Sometimes it's hard to do that. So, John 15, verses 12 and 13. And here he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And this is Jesus. He's talking to these people, and he's saying, "Listen, I loved you, and I want you to love others just like I've loved you." Verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And so Jesus here gives us the example that we're to walk in. Then let me give you the third thing here, and that is new and experienced. Only a true Christian knows how to love. Love and light go together. We saw that in verse number 10. Love and light go together. But can I tell you, it's easy to talk about it, but it's more difficult to practice. Now, I'm going to tell you, on the job, sometimes people that we don't agree with. I was talking to a guy today, and he said, you know, he works with this guy, and he says he's just one of the nicest guys that could be. But he says when it comes to talking about politics or, you know, some of these things, he said, we don't agree on anything like that. And he says, you know what? And sometimes he could be difficult because he's so opinionated, and he's got an opinion and he don't mind expressing it. And he says, sometimes I tell you what, it's just hard to be around him. And so, you know, most of the time they just have decided they can't even talk about some things, certain things, because there's such division there. But you know what? The Bible says, and God tells us, and the Lord tells us here, that we're to love those people regardless. And it, by the way, can I tell you that most of the time, things that divide, if there's things that you don't agree on, you're better off not to talk about them. Because you know what happens? I've seen this. I couldn't tell you how many times I've seen this. Even though people, you know, when people start talking about things, sometimes, even if they don't get mad, sometimes their voice gets elevated. Sometimes they get a little intense. Sometimes, you know, they kind of start, you know, go back and forth at each other. Not necessarily even being mad at one another, but you know what the world sees? The world looks at that and they think, man, these guys are just about to fight. Well, guess what? If you're a Christian, guess what the world sees in you? They think, well, man, they can't talk. He can't talk about nothing without getting mad. And you know what? It gives people a bad taste in their mouth. It's a bad testimony to people. So I'm going to tell you, the best thing that you can do if there's something that you disagree with, that somebody that you work with, is just not talk about it. You'd be better off. Why? Because the testimony of Christ is more important than anything that you might talk about. By the way, can I give you a piece of advice? And I give this advice out all the time, but no, I don't think anybody ever listens to it. But I'll give it to you. I'm going to give it to you again. I'll give you another opportunity. Now listen, this is real good sense, all right? I've learned this from many years of talking to wise and great people, all right? Here it is. If nobody is asking for your opinion, they probably don't want it. If nobody asks you for your opinion, they probably don't want it. And so if you give it, you know, there's a good chance you might offend. I found this. I found that even when people ask for my opinion and I give it to them, and it's not what they're looking for, they'll just go to get somebody else until they find somebody that agrees with them. Most time, people just want somebody to agree with them. They really don't want to know what you think. They really don't. I don't know why that is. I mean, I could really help them if they'd let me, but they, you know, I don't know. Sometimes they just don't want you to. But I'm just going to tell you, if it's something that's divisive, like politics, sports. I mean, I have seen people getting fist fights over sports before. So you know, things that divide, they really shouldn't be talked about. Why? Because it gives a bad testimony. And by the way, it's going to be hard for you to love that person. It's going to be hard for that person to receive your love if they're lost, if you're always arguing and fussing about stuff. So the best thing to do, not to talk about it. So love and light go together. It's easier to talk about. It's difficult to practice. We're to treat them as Christ would treat them. And let me give you this right here. Let me turn over to Matthew chapter 5. That'll be the last time we turn. But turn over to Matthew chapter 5. I want you to see a passage of Scripture here. Here he is. Here is a passage of Scripture I think that everybody ought to be familiar with. Matthew chapter number 5, verse 21. Matthew 5, 21. You know, I hope that's the right passage. Let me see here. Okay, yeah, it is. Okay. All right, he says here, and he's talking about, he's really talking about several different things here, but look at verse chapter 5, verse 21. "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother," in other words, he's a believer, "have aught against thee," has something against you, "leave thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." And you know what he's saying here? He's saying, here's really what he's saying. It's impossible to be in fellowship with God and hate your brother, have something against a brother. You just can't have fellowship with God if you're not right with somebody else. And I'm going to tell you, I believe it would change our church. I believe we would have revival in our church if everybody was right with everybody in the church. By the way, that's the way it ought to be. There should not be anything that you have between anybody. The Bible says if it is, there's no need coming to the altar. There's no need. You're wasting your time coming to the altar, bringing a gift, bringing a sacrifice to the Lord. God says, I really don't want your gift. Leave your gift there. Go get it right with your brother. Then come. And God says, I'll accept it then. It'll be acceptable then. So, folks, I'm telling you, we're to love. We're to love. Only a true Christian knows how to love, and we're to do that. And God tells us we're to do it. But we're to have fellowship one with another. If I'm right with God, I'll be right with you. Let me give you just a couple phrases here that I've written down. Darkness and hate go together. We saw that in verse 11. Darkness can cause blindness. Do you know somebody that's in darkness, prolonged darkness for a long time, will lose their eyesight? They won't be able to behold the light. Darkness will cause you and others to stumble. Can't be dangerous. I remember one time we was playing a game over at the gym, and we blindfolded the kids, and they were running from one end to the other. Now, that we know that'd be dangerous right off the bat, right? If I blindfolded you and I said, now I want you to run to the other part of the gym, other side of the gym, we know that'd be dangerous. But what the thing was, you're supposed to, as a leader, you were supposed to run along with them and help and guide them, right? Well, everybody did that, but this one guy. Well, the guy that he blindfolded, this little kid, he took off running. Guess what he did? He's blindfolded. Guess what he did? Anybody know? He ran to the wall. Yeah, he ran to the wall. And I'm hollering, somebody stop that guy. Somebody help him. And the other guy was supposed to be... He just stood there and was watching him. Well, yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. If you're blind, you can't see. It's dangerous to walk around like that. And so dark. And by the way, that's what the Bible describes. If we have hate, that's what he's talking about. That he says you're walking in the darkness here. All right, darkness hinders spiritual growth. We need light to grow. And folks, can I tell you? We have this example here in the Bible, of course, Jesus Christ, and we have this passage here that talks about our love that we're supposed to have and how it should be. I mean, you know what? For a Christian, love just should be just a natural thing that comes out. The Bible tells us, and we mentioned this a while ago, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit, that means it's the evidence of having God's Spirit in you. If you have God's Spirit, if you've been saved, God's love ought to come out of you, and it ought to be evident to those that are around you. All right? Well, let's stand. Let's bow our heads. We're going to give a sense of